This is the Turf Zone Podcast, your central information and news hub, bringing together professionals from turf associations across multiple states to share things to help you in your business. Brought to you in partnership with our friends at the Pennsylvania Turfgrass Council. Now, let's get in the zone.
Welcome to the Turf Zone. In this episode of Pennsylvania Turfgrass, we feature an article titled, European Invaders, Invasive Crane Flies Swarmed the Region in 2020, written by Ben McGraw, PhD, Associate Professor of Turfgrass Science. A global pandemic, work restrictions, severe drought, and massive swarms of insects? As if the challenges in 2020 were not apocalyptic enough, many turfgrass managers from Ohio to the Canadian Maritime Provinces observed hordes of European cranefly, or ECF, emerging from the ground during September and October of 2020. The sheer size of the swarms, number of reports and samples submitted to the Turfgrass Entomology Lab at Penn State, as well as the detection of species in new areas, would suggest that populations are increasing in Pennsylvania. Accurate pest identification and vigilance and monitoring are essential for a managing ECF, which until now have enjoyed minor pest status in the Commonwealth. This article is intended to serve as a guide to understanding ECF outbreaks and what to look for moving forward. What is a crane fly? Crane flies are moderate-sized, slender insects that appear to many to resemble a gigantic mosquito or daddy long legs. They are approximately 15,000 species of crane flies on the planet, with approximately 350 species in Pennsylvania. Most are associated with moist environments, and adults can often be found flying around turf near bodies of water or in open fields with moist soils. Only two of the 15,000 species are horticultural pests. Unfortunately for turfgrass managers, both are established in North America and feed on turfgrasses. In areas where ECF are present, no turfgrass manager is immune to the potential for turf loss, as neither species has shown a preference for turfgrass species or mowing height. Rather, ECF can damage home lawns, pastures, athletic fields, and golf courses. Their distribution within a site is most closely associated with soil moisture. Adults pose a nuisance to homeowners, athletes, and golfers, but cannot feed and live for only several days to weeks. Damage to turfgrass is caused by the larvae, commonly referred to as leather jackets. Leather jackets are legless, tan to dark gray maggots. Their worm-like bodies are slightly cone-shaped from the head, becoming tapered toward the rear of the abdomen. Leather jackets develop through four larval instars by feeding on both roots and foliage with hook-like mouthparts. Most of their time is spent in the top inch of the soil, coming to the surface to feed at night or on overcast days. Large rainfall events may cause leather jackets to leave their burrow, where they may be washed off the turf onto impervious surfaces. Healthy turf is capable of withstanding moderately dense leather jacket populations, though stands may exhibit thinning or collapse with additional stressors such as drought or heat. Similar to white grub infestations, vertebrate predators like skunks, birds, and raccoons may cause the most substantial damage to the turf when they forage for larvae in the spring. Invasive species. The two European pest species have been introduced in North America on multiple occasions. The European cranefly was possibly introduced as early as 1880 in Newfoundland, but was first detected in North America in 1955 on Cape Breton Island, Nova Scotia, followed by introductions in British Columbia in 1965 and the Great Lakes region in 1996. The marsh cranefly has also been introduced on at least three separate occasions, though much more recently, 1998 through 2004, in the same geographical regions. What do these areas have in common? Each represents a port of entry into North America where hitchhiking insects can be released. Fortunately for these insects, they found themselves in an environment with similar climatic conditions as in their native regions, with high annual precipitation. ECF eggs are placed in the top half inch of the soil and require high moisture to survive. Eggs absorb water and will collapse if not in a saturated environment for 2 to 4 minutes. The marsh cranefly is widely distributed in Europe and North Africa, and therefore may be more tolerant to desiccation. Similarly, North American populations are more widely distributed than the European cranefly and include areas that typically do not receive high annual precipitation. Observations of adult emergence on areas on golf courses would also suggest that their distribution on a site is less influenced by moisture than the European cranefly. It is likely that the consistent, sometimes excessive, rainfall received between fall 2017 and spring 2020 likely allowed for greater ECF egg survival and increased the amount of favorable oviposition sites at a local level and allowed for greater spread of European cranefly throughout the region. The distribution of this insect, which has a greater potential for turf damage than the marsh cranefly, has thus far been limited to discrete populations in the Northeast, Erie, Pennsylvania, and Buffalo to Syracuse, New York. However, at the time of writing this article, our lab has identified infestations in western and central Pennsylvania and northern New England, which leads us to believe that the insect disperses better than previously reported, or it has been accidentally introduced through the transport of sod or other materials. What to look for? Adults. ECF's infestations are usually realized by adults flying low to rough-mown turf sites or congregating on walls of buildings. The marsh cranefly has 2 generations per year, with adults emerging mid-April to June and August through September. The European cranefly has 1 generation per year, with adults emerging between September and October. Therefore, we cannot determine which species, if not both, was present on a site during September 2020 without a sample. ECF adults are tan in appearance with clear wings or lacking darkened cells. They can be distinguished from native tipulids by the presence of a white band running the length of the leading edge of the wing that may be seen by shining a light from behind. Females are short-lived, 4 to 5 days, and are mated soon after emerging from their pupal casing. Eggs are deposited within 24 to 48 hours. The 2 species are nearly identical to one another, differing by the number of antennal segments, distance between the compound eyes on the ventral surface, and wing length on the female. The European cranefly female has wings that are shorter than her abdomen. A gravid female, i.e. carrying eggs, can barely make it off the ground, which leads to concentrated oviposition and localized damage. The marsh craneflies are more adept at flying and lay their eggs over a wider area. This species is quite commonly observed flying in spring and fall on our research sites, though damage is rarely realized. Adults are effectively sampled with a butterfly net or capturing adults congregating on screen surfaces or white-walled buildings. Larvae. Leather jackets emerge from eggs 11 to 15 days after oviposition. Both species are most susceptible to chemical controls in fall when small larvae are present. Larvae feed voraciously during the first 2 instars in fall, but unlike white grubs, do not move lower in the soil profile with the onset of freezing conditions. Feeding is slowed, but occasionally putting greens may be damaged by leather jackets in midwinter. The marsh cranefly develops more rapidly and enters winter in the 4th instar. Damage can be observed in late fall to early winter. The European cranefly will overwinter in the 3rd instar, resume feeding in spring to become 4th instars, then estivate throughout the summer. Damage is typically observed in spring, though reports of late summer damage can occur as leather jackets advance to become pupae. Next steps. For those that observed adults or suspect ECF to be present on their site, our trial work has demonstrated that adequate control of ECF larvae in spring is difficult to achieve with either chemical or biological controls. Management is most effective in fall when both species' larvae are small. For now, I would urge turf managers to scout for stages and try to identify which ECF species are present. Spring larvae can be found by taking soil core samples. Both ECF are relatively large at this time and can be seen without the aid of magnification. Leather jackets can also be found by using an insecticide irritant, carbaryl, such as 7, applied with some irrigation or rainfall will cause the maggots to surface within 5 to 15 minutes. Unfortunately, we cannot differentiate the species based on appearance. The marsh cranefly seems to be everywhere we look in Pennsylvania and remains a low concern for the moment. Adults emerged in the Pittsburgh area in the last week of April in 2019 and 2020. Regularly scouting turf during this time may result in observing pupae or their casing sticking vertically out of the turf on mornings when adults have emerged. This may be easier to observe on short mown areas of golf courses than on home lawns or athletic fields. The European cranefly, which will remain a leather jacket all spring, is our primary concern for the moment. Damage appears in spring and is often quite localized. If there is any silver lining to this dystopian view of what 2021 may bring for turf managers, is that dramatic population crashes have been observed when water is limiting during oviposition. Fall was particularly dry through much of the region. Until we know more, scout high-valued turf and areas prone to retaining moisture, work to reduce thatch, and improve drainage where possible. For all photos and resources associated with this article, check out our show notes. And don't miss an episode of Pennsylvania Turfgrass. Subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also visit us at theturfzone.com.
You've been listening to The Turf Zone. For more episodes of The Turf Zone, visit theturfzone.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app.